Blog Talk Radio.
Show. I'm Don Allen in Studio A, and over in Studio B is Mr. Ronald A. Edwards. Mr. Edwards, a beautiful evening.
Yes, yes. Don, get a little bit of static again out of your studio there. May want to clear up that garble. Yeah, it's a nice cold evening here in the Twin Cities, Minneapolis, St. Paul. Temperature getting ready to plunge down to single digits. That means 8, 9, 6, 7 degrees. I think we almost went a little bit under below zero last night with the wind chill. That wind's still kind of kicking up. But things are kicking here in the city of Minneapolis, man. We've lost our superintendent of schools effective January 31st, Dr. Bernadette Johnson, submitting her resignation last night just prior to the board meeting at the beautiful headquarters of the Minneapolis Special School District Number 1 at 1250 West Broadway there. Beautiful, beautiful building. Of course, achieved on her watch as a part of her legacy, if you will. Don, you have any thoughts? And then we certainly want to, and we're being asked by some to reflect on the kidnappings and the sexual assaults of little African-American girls over the last couple of months. Apparently, Don, it's been going on for a number of months. But boy, they kind of kept it hid. But anyway, Superintendent Schools is out of here. What you thinking? And your voice is still messed up.
Okay, well, hopefully they'll correct it on the studio end here, because I didn't. That's all I can do here.
Okay, you're great now. You're great now. Yeah.
Okay. I think that, it's about time that she left. I mean, we don't know if she resigned or if it was kind of a force-out move behind the senators, and I know they're probably celebrating. But, you know, it was kind of long overdue, and we had talked about it last year, Mr. Edwards, because there was a bunch of people baking a cake for Superintendent Johnson, and it looked like he got served last night. And so she's out of
well,
there.
Yeah, well, I take a little different
not really
approach, Don. I think it could – it's probably a mistake, whatever the decision and the pressure groups were. But I know there's been a lot of criticism because all of a sudden now, I can well remember us talking about that a couple years ago on this program, the DNR, if you will, Don and Ron. And we were taking criticism for being negative, if you will. In fact, I think Ezell Jones, I remember Ezell Jones, called you, Don, one of the most negative persons around, and Louis King and others called us both a tandem that needed to take our meds and et cetera, because we were talking about things that we didn't know we were talking about that was not happening. And now all I hear is the academic and achievement gap and et cetera. And now people are saying the superintendent, African-American superintendent, Dr. Bernadette Johnson, has been forced out. So now it looks like we've got an educational deficiency to join all the other deficiencies affecting the black community in Minnesota. That's kind of my take.
Okay, yeah. Well, you know, I don't think any of the black leaders in the Twin Cities was ready for this, because we have not heard a press conference or a plan. And I recall Munson was his last name in Sacramento in 93 or 94, at his resignation as the superintendent of school. I happened to be in Sacramento at the time. There was a press conference, three or four that day, by about in the Urban League, the NAACP, some African-American leadership groups. Very organized, very together, smooth. They wanted to make sure that the next superintendent represented the majority of the children going in that school district there.
Now, this was where, Don? You said here or Sacramento, California?
Sacramento, California. Right. It was in Sacramento. 1993, and the guy's last name was Munson. I remember him.
Don,
I remember
Don, you're breaking up real bad. God, you're breaking up real bad.
Yeah,
I can't even hear you well.
Okay.
You must be hitting your microphone or something. But go ahead. You don't know what the guy's last name was?
No, Munson is his last name.
Oh, Munson. Okay.
First thing. But actually, we're looking, trying to track him down. But yeah, and I just say that, Mr. Edwards, to give an example of kind of how dysfunctional this city has been for a long time. And I know they always complain to us; they want solutions, but. You know, why do that when they don't take any of the solutions to heart and don't work with it, work through it, and we're at where we were 25 years ago?
Yeah. Well, that's interesting. What's your take, Don, on how long it'll take to appoint a new superintendent? By the way, why don't we give that phone number out while you're working on that technical problem? Well, the phone number, the lines are open. I'm interested to hear what some of the more knowledgeable, educated, or education-oriented individuals are feeling, because I have to say that to our listening audience, this was clearly a surprise. I mean, no one really saw this coming. I know myself, I thought that probably she would not have her contract renewed in about a year and a half, but I did not think that she would make that decision, though she's leaving with a nice package, which clearly indicates that the board's feeling was the directors, and this is an outgoing board. They are through as of December 31st, but it appears to me that they were prepared to pay off this better than $100,000 for 4 months, 5 months, than possibly get hit with a $2 or $3 million lawsuit. But go ahead, your thinking, Don.
Yeah, you know, I think we should work on rather quickly. I know that R.E. Rivas has been for the years here, the former mayor. And
Don, I got to keep telling you, man. You're breaking up. I can't understand anything you're saying.
Okay. I said that R.T. Rivas would make a good choice. And have a word on that real quick.
Yeah, okay. Well, hopefully somebody give us a call and tell us if they're hearing us well, if they're able to hear us, because, like I said, my reception, you're just breaking up all over the place. What do you feel the target date should be? Do you think they'll be able to get us a new superintendent by, let's say, the 1st of May, this new board coming in?
Oh, no. Wait that long. It doesn't make any sense. A five lawyer in town, like my suggestion, find someone else.
Yeah, I could hear. Give us a, let's throw the phone number out there. Maybe we'll get a caller in and we'll talk with the caller and maybe they'll get a chance to work on that technical problem.
4742 3904. Number is 4742 3904.
Yeah, well, let me give you my observation, give you some time to try to work on that, because, boy, that's terrible reception. My observation is basically the following. Whatever the planners who helped initiate the pressure that was applied that caused the superintendent to submit her resignation, I assume they had a plan to make sure that there was not an interruption of the educational process, administration, and et cetera. We've got two new members, what Mr. Allen and I have been talking about. We've got two new members coming onto the board. We have a third member who may not be able to finish out her term. We had a situation here just a month and a half ago where the information came out that the board was going to try to maneuver a situation where a board member by the name of Carla Bates was going to step down from the board and take a very high-paying position as in the IT department. Attorneys advised the board that could lead to some significant lawsuits, and that the woman that they were going to replace Carla Bates with had finished third in a two-person race, if you will. When I say two persons, there were four people running for two seats. One was an incumbent. She won, came in first. The other one was the very legendary Don Samuels, the man who indicated that Don, I'm getting text messages. They said they can hear me fine, but you're breaking up real bad, so probably need to work on that.
This should be a little bit better, Mr. Edwards, now.
Yeah, it is, Don. Okay. Yeah, text messages are coming in to me that you're breaking up real bad. You sounded real good right now. Carla Bates was going to relinquish her seat, take a very high-paying job inside of the district, the IT position. Decision was made that wasn't going to work. There would probably be a legal challenge, and rightly so, because the person that finished third was clearly defeated by almost 13,000 votes by the number one candidate, who is a current incumbent. And then, of course, Don Samuels. Don Samuels is indicating already he expects to be able to become at least a chair or vice chair of the board coming in new.
But all right.
A board that is, you know, going to have problems finding their way to the bathroom at that big luxurious headquarters we have here on Broadway. But you don't think that they'll be able to have a new superintendent in place, Don, by May 1st?
I was telling Mr. Why wait till May 1st? I mean, I know Superintendent Johnson will be around there collecting $12,000 a month plus perks till June. And so it doesn't really make much sense for them to wait. This is something that has to happen rather quickly, because you know what happens in those cases when we're waiting on people to be replaced and high, you know, just bring back memories of the NAACP for me. But what happens is nothing for the children will get focused on. The education will still be out there in the street.
Well, that's interesting, Don, and getting the phone lines open. What you're implying, my friend from the right, is that there's some particular force, political force, that already has a successor in mind. Now, Michael Gore, who is acting as interim, Gore was initially brought back here from Boston, went to work for the same organization that former mayor R.T. Ryback is now the head of, if you will.
Generation
and then,
Next.
Mr. Gore was brought in. Are you saying that you think that those that had been meeting during the summer of this year, talking in terms of the plan to force Superintendent Johnson out, are you saying that they have a specific candidate in mind? And let me ask the question this way. Do you think that candidate's black?
No, absolutely not. And, Mr. Edwards, in 2008, I sat in rooms where a council member at the time, Don Samuels, was sitting, and where R.T. Ryback, the mayor at the time, was sitting, and other key people in education, Bernard Johnson, Superintendent Johnson, I should say, and a couple other people, and they discussed a plan, a master plan. And so far, sitting back and watching it, we've been talking about it, Don Samuels made it to the school board. Before Don Samuels, Gore from Generation Next, where Ryback is and was, is now inside the school system. He's had an opportunity to do what he needed to do in every department in his position to make that Ryback transition from Generation Next into the school district happen.
Okay. Do you then think that Michael Gore is the candidate to succeed? And do you think
that he will get the
credentials? Because he doesn't have a superintendent's license. He has to get a variance from the State Department of Education. But do you think that he's the hidden gem, if you will, the nugget?
No,
you think that's
no,
who
I,
they want to put in as the next superintendent?
No, I don't think they'll do that. I will be delightfully surprised if that happens, and it would open up a whole new can of worms and some questions, because a lot of people are concerned about Gore's position as CEO and the privatization of public schools, like charter schools, and what he's talking about.
Well, they're all reformers. All the people that you basically talked about are clearly reformers and are significant recipients of the Koch brothers' monies and Education for America.
Me on the right, all I'm saying is that so far what they're doing has not worked. If they get Koch brother money, if they are Teach for America, something needs to happen where at least the kids benefit from being taught. They graduate and they go to college. It's not happening now. So
okay.
you might need something radical. I mean, I know people holler and scream and fuss and spit about this Koch money and this other stuff, but I mean, both sides get money from somewhere.
Okay.
Just
All right. Well, let me ask you this: what do you think about the meetings they had this summer at a former school board member's home? She's now head of some kind of educational think tank, where they said some pretty ugly things, some of them very racist, in the presence of African Americans in those meetings they had this summer. Some indicate that Don Samuels and another candidate, not Mr. Jourdain, so that certainly not what's her name, Gagelin, because Gagelin was certainly a target. So you think that it won't be Michael Gore, but that they have someone in place and ready to go who has all the credentials?
Yeah, it's time to change. It's time. They're going to change, and they're going to change rather quickly, and that position is not going to be set up for an African-American candidate. And that's just the bottom line.
Do you think, then, that we will hear concerns being expressed by African-American leadership, African-American educators, and others? Do you think they will raise the question about why will not be suitable this next time around for an African-American to be a finalist for the position of superintendent?
Well, Mr. Edwards, as you well know, since you were the president of the NAACP here for a long period of time and the longest seated chairman
The NAACP. President of the Urban League.
The Urban League.
I was on the executive committee of the NAACP.
I wasn't
the president.
Okay.
Yeah, bad intel.
Sure.
Go ahead.
Yeah. But anyway, in your positions in civil rights organizations here in town where there were concerns about an issue that might resemble this, there were letters crafted, there was meetings had with articulate people at the table who could relay what the feelings were in the community and what they wanted to happen to get the attention of the necessary folks. We don't have that level of intellectual property hanging around in Minneapolis right now, you know, because you give them $50, they're going to the steakhouse, and they're going to forget all about that.
So we can basically resign ourselves as the African-American community to the following. Number one, there is no African-American educator with credentials who is being seriously considered or will be seriously considered. And if the new board, acquires the services of a search firm to go out and search for qualified candidates, that there is really no great hope that an African-American will ascend to the final spot and quote-unquote be selected. So...
But Mr. Edwards, I have to jump in on this here because, you know, that's really not the objective of the school district. The school district is supposed to be teaching the children in the school system, especially the children
that have failed.
Hasn't happened. When all the focus goes away to looking for this person, I mean, that's what's going to happen anyway. You and I know that. That's what's going to happen, and nothing's going to get done with the children. So I guess my point is that I don't know how they're going to do it. It's going to be willy-nilly, however it happens. They're going to waste a couple $100,000. They might by hiring like the third firm, and that's not cheap. So we'll see what happens. I'm watching closely, but you know, there's a master plan afoot.
Well, do you think part of the pressure that was applied and the indication of a lack of voter confidence had to do with the strife between she and the two state senators, the only two African-American senators? You think that this was part of the allegations that were made against them that have yet to be, quote-unquote, proven, even though the Star Tribune has been trying real hard? Do you think that this was a part of the pressure that led to the superintendent submitting her resignation yesterday, that she didn't tell the truth about the conversations with the two state senators on the CSI program?
Well, I think from a strategic point of view, if she stepped down, that so she can tell the real story without it reflecting negatively on her position as a superintendent, and she's not a superintendent anymore. That's one way you could look at it. She can go for the jugular now. Someone asked me that earlier today, Mr. Edwards, and I just said, you know, it's a possibility because it's still in the mix. It's up in the air as far as the Republican Ethics Committee is concerned. So I don't
know. Well, now, hold on. We want to be clear. That's not the Republican Ethics Committee. That is a joint bipartisan committee. Two Republicans, two Democrats.
Yeah, and well, it's still up in the air.
Well, the Republicans, your friends on the right now, everybody's on the right, filed a formal complaint. But the committee is split to two and two. I mean, that's how the rules of the Senate set it up. So it's a bipartisan committee, which I guess will be meeting sometime, maybe January, February, March. Yeah. Okay. All right. But so you kind of think and feel that maybe once she formally steps down on the 31st of January 2015, that she will be more forceful in the discussions that she maintained were held between her and the two state senators?
Well, I'll put it like this. It would be interesting if that would happen. It's a possibility, I would say, at this point, because if you're looking at this from a strategic communication point of view, you know, it won't reflect negatively on the school district. You won't have certain puppets in the community demanding her resignation, because she's talking about two senators.
Okay.
And they'll basically have nowhere to go with it other than go directly after her. And,
well, but let me do the math here, though, Don. Let me do the math. Because seven of the nine people that were present back in the early part of the year who signed affidavits and et cetera saying that the superintendent had discussed with them in the summer of 2014 the fact that this kind of pressure was being brought to bear and that it had started in early 2013. So seven of them are still there. The only two, quote-unquote, clean hands are, well, I'm sorry, the only one clean hand, because Gagman, it was an incumbent who won and led the ticket. The only person that would have a non-conflict of interest about that would be, damn, Don Samuels. Isn't that something?
Huh. Yeah.
Yeah, that would be a keen strategy. Because at the point, if the superintendent, if they're able to require her, no, they're not going to be able to require her because she will no longer have an affiliation, association with the district. So she can do whatever she pleases, but the other eight members have to be real careful because they all said, according to the Senate hearing committee, that they were informed that this conversation and this, what was the term that was used, bullying and threats had taken place. Now, they are all trying to say that they were aware of that. So that does not give them they are not immune, if you will. And so so looks like Don Samuels would be the person that would be the articulator, if you will, of what the responsibility of the board should have been. I mean, other than also the Star Tribune and et cetera. Now, the conservatives are not going to attack Don Samuels.
Oh, no, not at all.
Okay. So, I mean, I just wanted to clear, because it is complex for our listening audience, both locally, domestically, and internationally, that I would like to think that the outgoing superintendent would have the latitude to talk in terms of what really happened, if you will, starting in 2013 and the recommendations and then ultimately the withdrawing of the contract, if you will. But, man, you like I said, you still have eight of the nine board members that all were a party to the discussions. And voted to support the recommendation of the Johnson administration to terminate the relationship. So that's going to be interesting. Maybe there are some callers out there that may want to reflect on that and maybe help us have a better understanding of really, you know, how that's going to be done. Well, all right, Don. Phone number one more time, Don, because, you know, lines are open then, and we need to get to an even more serious matter in many respects, and that is these kidnappings that are going on of little black children in this town.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. That number is 347-426-3904. Again, the number is 347-426-3904, and the lines are wide open.
All right. Well, let me just deal with it right off the bat. I noticed there was nothing in the paper this morning from the Star Tribune, which is interesting. I guess they were spending their time talking about the resignation of the superintendent. But we have an epidemic of kidnappings, abductions, and little African-American children, all little girls, if you will, though there is now a African-American young lady who is a teenager. Let's say she's under the age of 17. But there are a couple that are in the age group of 7 and 8 years old. And, you know, Minneapolis got, Don, a little bit of national attention here about a week and a half ago when, and thank God, a 7-year-old African-American child who had been lured into a car and then taken to a house for about 2.5 hours. We got national play on that, but she was found by Minneapolis police officers about 2 blocks from her home walking back. The predator must have let her out a couple blocks from her home. But there's some confusion that has emerged now, and we're kind of talking about it exclusively here on the Don Ron program, the DNR. The Minneapolis School District yesterday indicated that they had actually became aware of this situation in October when there was at least one, possibly two, abductions and sexual assault, and that they had notified parents through the robo system and some kind of notification that there was a predator out there. Now, the police department is saying that's just not accurate. Where do you think that leads us, man?
If that's the case, we're in trouble. I mean, if there's more than one girl or one child being affected by this.
There's more than one.
I mean, that's a huge problem because there have not been any Amber Alerts, and you just don't get Amber Alerts in the Twin Cities when there's a black child missing. For some reason, I can't answer that question. It's highly unusual.
Well, let me go back over it again for the purpose of the audience. So I'll just take that on. The head of security of the Minneapolis Public School in a conversation yesterday indicated that this was known and that the district had investigated. They had been alerted that a young African-American female, maybe age 7 or 8, had been abducted, taken to a house. In fact, the papers are reporting, police reports, is that this is a house probably occupied by a registered sex offender, maybe even a level 3. And that one of the things that happened is that individual keeps a couple of big dogs, one black, one white, which is kind of interesting. So obviously, this information came from the children, if you will, and we're talking about more than one African-American female child, if you will, that was swept up and taken for up to 2.5, 3 hours into this house. Now, one of the problems we have, Don, you and I discussed in a production meeting, is that we have an extraordinary number of sex offenders in North Minneapolis, primarily white, and they come from every county in the state, because if a county outstate decides they don't want this person back in the community, the Department of Corrections puts them in a special kind of program, and then they bring them right into North Minneapolis. In fact, I understand there are 6 apartment buildings in North Minneapolis owned by one landlord who rents only to sex offenders, if you will. So we've got the sex offenders driving up and down the street, looking at the little children, pulling them up, grabbing them, and et cetera. Do you think that we have any suggestions on how the heck we should deal with this problem? Because, I mean, a landlord has said I can rent to anybody I want to rent to. Of course, as a black person, I know that that's not necessarily a doctrine. It is a doctrine that says that we can rent to anybody and we can also deny anybody. But they're certainly not denying these sex offenders. In fact, the Department of Corrections has gotten, well, pretty sensitive about giving out the overall number. Maybe we have a caller out there. We've got a lot of people who say they know about what's going on. We got all these nonprofits out there that you oftentimes talk about. Maybe somebody can call us and give us the general number of the number of sex offenders, level 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, that are residing in the midst of the African American community. And what the comfort level is, you know, maybe someone can call and speak for one of the elected public officials, county commissioners, state senators, city council members, or et cetera, is that how comfortable are people with the presence of all these sex offenders in one general area of a city, in this case, North Minneapolis. I remember there was some discussion and attempt to move on this agenda about two and a half years ago, but the political leadership said, it's not anything you people should be worried about. Don, I mean, what's your thinking on it?
Well, I think that it's something that we should really be worried about because they're just kind of pulling them off in North Minneapolis, and we don't know what's going to happen. There's a large number. I had read on another blog like last year, Mr. Edwards, that there was a large number. There was a little movement with Michael Brown from the Minneapolis Department of Civil Rights being a friend of this one gentleman. He wasn't a sex offender, but he wanted the sex offenders out of North Minneapolis. And I don't know what they accomplished, but, I mean, they're still renting. They're still putting them there, and it's just on the down low. And so,
okay, now this is the same Michael Brown that moved to Golden Valley?
Yes. They used to live in North Minneapolis and Hillside.
That's the number two person in the Minneapolis Civil Rights Department. He moved. In fact, he and Don Samuels used to live right across the street from each other up in what we call Tangletown, right?
Okay. Yep.
Right, that's the same Michael Brown. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
So,
on behalf of his family and his children, understood and had an appreciation of how dangerous North Minneapolis was then, didn't he?
Yeah.
Phone lines are open. We've talked about superintendent. We're now talking about a disturbing pattern of abductions of little African-American girls, 7, 8, 9 years old, that are being taken off the streets. Luckily, God help us if the sex offender reverts to taking a more violent action, if you will.
Well,
don't see the interest about these little black girls. I mean, if this was a beautiful, blonde, blue-eyed, white child, particularly from southwest or southeast Minneapolis, I mean, Lord have mercy, Negroes would not be able to drive their cars up and down the street. And the predator was a African-American, I mean. Yeah.
Everybody's getting pulled over.
Yeah, well, you know, I'd like to, like we said, the phone lines are open. I'd like to hear from the community what their thinking is about these sex offenders and about the disproportionate number of sex offenders that come to us from all across the state of Minnesota. Counties, particularly outstate, that don't want them in their county, said, you know, just send them over there to Chocolateville, Jungle Bunny Land or whatever. I'd like to hear what people are thinking. Maybe there's no interest. Maybe really something that a African-American minister said yesterday that maybe there's no interest. Maybe black folk are just comfortable with this going on and having children on the endangered species list. I don't know, you know. I know that there was a decision made by the newspapers today to make sure they didn't reprint anything.
Yeah, I'm pulling up the registered sex offenders from city data. In the zip code 55411, there are 29, as of December 17, 2014, it's current, there are 29 registered sex offenders living in that zip code. They're clustered off Golden Valley Road and Penn. They're up by Queen Avenue, Sheridan Avenue, and 26. Also here we have Aldrich, Colfax, Gerard, Knox, James, And so, yeah, they're in, you know, from Highway to the west, I would say, Golden Valley to 94. They're all right in there, Mr. Edwards. I'm looking at it right now.
Okay.
Yeah, and I have their names. Some of them, I'm not going to read their names. But Offender has a history.
We don't want to do that. I mean, community isn't really concerned, we don't want to go in that direction. Tom Lydon, by the way, let me just say this where I was going with this. Last night, Tom Lydon of KMSP Channel 9, which is the Fox network station here in the Twin Cities for our domestic or national audience and et cetera, he was given obviously a picture of an individual, Caucasian sex offender, who is a significant suspect at this point, significant in the terms that there seems to be some intel, if you will, information that he may be active. In fact, he may be a person that has two dogs that he keeps in his home, one black, one white, if you will. He may be involved in taking pictures of young children. He may be on the Internet acquiring child pornography. Oops. But Tom Lydon didn't show his picture, but what he did, he left his ID number under the picture, and so the ID number is public information, and I understand that some folks conducted an examination today, and the individual could possibly be the individual in question, but then there's discussion going on that there may be more than one, Doc.
Interesting. I'm pretty sure the way they're listed on that website, they are out there in full force.
Again, Don, are you getting any text messages, man? What are the folks saying? They don't want to touch this or what? Phone lines are open. Just an opportunity for a meaningful discussion, but also to send a signal to the victims and loved ones of these young African American children. By the way, the word is that if there is four, there's probably twice that number. People that just haven't come forward and et cetera. As I said before, Tom Lydon went with the story yesterday. Obviously, information leaked to him, if you will. We even have rumors that there may have been a couple reports filed with the MPD, but was never put into the computer system and et cetera. So, but, hey, maybe we'll just move on because maybe there's just no concern, Don.
Yeah, that's always a possibility, you know. Folks, you know, they're out like peacocks downtown tonight, Mr. Edwards.
They're at the Motown Review. At the Orpheum Theater. Okay.
I
know for those that have children, I know they're comfortable then that their children are tucked safely in bed, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, because see, this predator is no joke, man, or predators. And again, that number you gave, Don, 29 sex offenders, right within a 50 block area.
Yep, 29.
Wow.
There's and the zip code the number of residents in zip code 55411 to the number of sex offenders is 992-1. So, just know that.
Yeah, 992-1, meaning what? One sex offender for every 942 citizens.
Yes.
Okay,
exactly.
And one sex offender for how many children? Oops.
Yeah.
I mean, you figure that certainly better than half of the 940 are children, so that would put the number at about 460, 460 children for every predator. Okay, well, you know, I guess folks are comfortable with that. That makes sense, too, that 29 living in six specific buildings owned by the same realty company / landlord who rents to them. Okay, so all right then. Well, that's the current update, if you will. Hopefully, this guy will be apprehended at some point in time.
Yeah, it'd be nice.
Yeah, All right, Don, what else you got? What you got over there, man? We should. I really thought we'd have a little bit more discussion on the superintendent. I thought really we would have discussions about the children. but I guess not. Like I said, people are shopping or people are at the Orpheum Theater for the Motown Review.
And that's what I want to just chime in on real quick here, Mr. Edwards. The people that were putting on this event for the Motown Review called the News Network and asked if the News Network would take some tickets for doing some advertising, having to come in on our Blog Talk radio show. And I said, you know, let me think about it. And then I turned on the TV, Mr. Edwards, and on every channel – there was about a $1,500 commercial running. So I called the lady back. I said, you know, you're spending big money on white media. So, well, we ran ads and the spokesman and the Inside and KMOJ, but mostly what they did, Mr. Edwards, gave them tickets. And so I just told her, you know.
But they gave a couple complimentary tickets for every four-minute promo they use, is that right?
Yeah, and I just told her, I said, respectfully, I'm going to have to decline that. I wish you the best of success. I said, I don't do tickets, can't put food on the table, you know. They did call me back on Monday and said they're having a VIP night for
Why don't you identify, who is the promotion group? I mean, who's promoting
Let me just look up so I get the right name here, because I have it right here in my email, so that we can, you know, be clear on what we're talking about here. And we got a slow internet signal here tonight. We'll wait till that loads, Mr. Edwards, and I will get that for you. It's actually loading right now, but it is. Let me just thumb down here. And those of you that are texting, please call the number. The phone number is 347-426-3904, and the lines are open, and I wouldn't mind answering the phone for you, you know, so just go ahead and give a call. So let me just get this up here.
Yeah, and the name of the group was, the group that's promoting
spending at least $1,500
with the white media. Did they spend $1,500 with KMOJ? Is that the point that we're making here? Or?
It is Dunn Communications. Out of, I think, Detroit, 313, Motown the Musical. The lady's name is Miss Charlie Pounders. That's who I talked to on the phone, and her company is it's Dunn Communications.
Okay.
So, and
they're
going to
be here for what? Seven? Is it 7 days? Is it a week?
It's two weeks. Until December 28th.
Well, did anybody tell them what some of the statistical data is on – what kind of staying power our community has for something like that? I mean, that seemed like a great run, but a tough run even in New York City.
What? They'll do good. I told her, Mr. Edwards, I said, you know what? You'll do great in Atlanta and maybe New York, maybe Los Angeles, Denver, Colorado, of course. But I'm saying you're going to run 2 weeks. Last 6 days is probably going to be really thin. You might even stop because the overhead for the production might cost more than what you did coming in.
Stagehands at the Orpheum require a lot of money by contract. Okay. Well, that's interesting. Like we said, spending a lot of money with white media. I don't know what kind of research they did, but 2 weeks?
People were jumping at tickets, Mr. Edwards. It's really interesting because when I talked to her, it's like, well, we hired a ground crew and to be on the street, people on the street, ain't nobody on the street. And we did these radios with KMOJ, we did this, we did that. They have really no idea. And so you can only lead a horse to water. You can't make them drink. So
I just
kind of left them alone.
Okay. All right. Say, now, moving along, unless we get a call to ask us about it. What's happened with our museum? And the reason is I've heard some discussion about some events that took place here. You and I, we talked about it in the production meeting. What's the update on our Black Museum? Are they going to get their facility over there in St. Paul on University? Museum going to open in the next couple of weeks? Or what? What's your intel?
I thought they were getting ready to go into foreclosure. To tell you the truth, that's what I've been hearing. Because of the electric company person won his battle against them. And so that's the last thing I heard, Mr. Edwards, and I have not been updated on that, but I know that they can't afford to do anything in the building. I did drive by it, what was that, Monday afternoon, and it's there, and their lights are off, and there's nothing going on. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, like I said, I listened to a program Sunday. I heard a lot of discussion about historical kinds of things. I did pick up that the $26 million group has now been joined by the African American Leadership Forum, and they're going to be doing some things in the area of law enforcement. And somebody called me earlier this evening saying there was a public safety meeting at the Urban League last week. And I'm just trying to get a feel, because when I'm looking at these kidnappings and assaults that are going on, I'm just kind of wondering why we haven't heard from those groups, you know, like a week ago. Is this, you know, is there some reason that we haven't? I mean, I'm not understanding. If we got public safety committee meeting and nobody's saying anything about what's happening to these little black children out here, I'm trying to get an understanding of what aspect of public safety are they looking at.
Mr. They tell us that we're negative and we're not supposed to say anything, but when you even catch wind and there's proof that a black child has been abducted by a possible sex offender, you're supposed to bring all the attention to every person in that community, black, red, mm-hmm. yellow, white. These people, they're thinking about getting dressed up and going down to Motown. And we do have a caller, Mr. Edwards.
Okay, I mean, I can appreciate that. I mean, I don't want to deny anybody the luxuries of life or et cetera, but I can well remember the emotion just about a week and a half ago when a little 7-year-old child was found walking by herself after being abducted for 2.5 hours and taken to a house and, you know, held almost prisoner by, you know, a white predator and his two dogs, if you will. But, hey, I can understand it. I mean, you know, we're probably off base by suggesting that communities should be concerned. But then I keep hearing these reflections about history, and I'm just, you know, I'm just trying to get a feel, because I've seen it happen so many times. I've seen Sorrell Scott, we've seen Tysel Nelson, Eric Benford, some that come to mind, Terrence Franklin. Geez, we don't even hear him talk about Terrence Franklin anymore. And, in fact, I was on a panel just two nights ago in South Minneapolis, Committee Against Police Brutality. And, you know, half of the historical stuff that has happened, nobody there seemed to know anything about it, you know. But, again, I understand what people have said as they criticize reflections on history, that that's something that happened yesterday, nothing we can do about it, let's move on. And, of course, until, you know, they are the victim or one of their loved ones are the victim. But maybe that, you know, maybe that's what it is. We hear all these discussions about what's going to happen, how things are going to be put in order, and how we're not even allowed to talk anymore about the great economic surge that has taken place that has not taken place. Because it was, I think, last week on the air, you read a piece, you called up a piece on the computer from the Wall Street Journal talking about how the black community is at the bottom of everything, from education to employment to economic development and et cetera. And no one called to contest that. And I've not heard any discussion. You handle and monitor the text messages and websites and social media. Did anybody take exception to the Wall Street Journal report, to the best of your knowledge?
No one did. They didn't say a word. But, Mr. Edwards, we do have a caller that's been waiting for a couple minutes.
Yeah. Oh, well, we don't want anybody to wait. We're trying to get the people in. Go ahead. Put the caller on.
caller. Thanks for having me. How y'all doing tonight?
Okay. Real good.
Good, good. Well, a couple of things quickly. Number one.
No, take your time. Take your time, bro. Take your time.
It
Go
is
ahead.
A damn shame that we there isn't a more vigilant effort to alert the community when there are sex offenders and all type of predators living with, especially within this case, probably just a mile away. And I think that it's also speaks to how the police handle minority communities, especially blacks. It's odd to me that this predator walked into this neighborhood, felt so comfortable to walk into this neighborhood to abduct this child, and to me was all nonchalant about it. So that speaks that he knows the area, he lives it within the area, and to me, I don't see a diligent effort in this guy trying to be caught. I'm glad that he did reach the national level. I seen it on the national news the other day.
CBS carried it, yeah. Yeah, picked it up from CCO,
and
right.
ABC did the same thing. That's why I sent that on ABC.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. And so I was very pleased to see that. But at the same time, why hasn't our dear mayor spoken out? Why hasn't our dear police chief spoken out? Okay. Why haven't they been in these neighborhoods visiting this family?
Let me say this, sir. And that's interesting because the chief was at Lucy Laney today. With children of that age group, if you will, and a school where one of the children probably went, handing out, little woolen caps representing the Minnesota sports teams.
Mm-hmm.
But I agree with you. I'm glad to hear you say that. I was waiting for someone to at least call and raise the question, where is the mayor? Where is the council, where's the councilman, the two council people whose wards these are being, these things are happening, particularly the fourth ward and et cetera, the fifth ward, definitely the fifth ward and the fourth. In fact, in one of the cases, I'm not at liberty to indicate which one because of confidentiality, but in one case, actually, the one little girl was taken from right in front of the school.
Now,
and actually, I'm kind of violating a kind of a trust, but I have to say that because there were some folks that were concerned about that, but basically folks have been told by the political heavyweights that it's not necessary to really discuss this in great detail, if you will. And we do have a situation where it appears that in October, a mother whose daughter was abducted did call the police, but it appears now that the 911 call and other information can't be found. So I appreciate you taking the time to call because it allows us to lay some additional facts out to test what the resolve is of our community. Go ahead, sir. Any additional questions you've got?
Well, when you think about this is a mayor that has a biracial children, okay? So when even though she is the $20 mayor, she has to realize that, ma'am, you have minority children. So you should care enough because you have your children. This could have happened to your children. Now, again, I don't want this to be politicized, but I do want my mayor, I would want to hear my chief, I would want to hear my councilman speaking out, clearly speaking out against these crimes and against doing something against moving these pedophiles and all. It's ridiculous to have these guys living amongst us, okay, playing against our kids. And here's the other thing. It's happening too often and to black kids, and it's these white individuals, okay? Now, here they are, most of white America, making hay about a lot of people talking about Black Lives Matters. This is a prime example of what some of these people that are speaking out about Black Lives Matters, this is what they're talking about. When is someone going to give a damn about our lives of black children that are not being represented right by our so-called leaders? Here's the other thing, guys. I haven't even heard black leaders speak out publicly about this incident.
Well, let me say this. This is Ron here again for you. Let me say this to you, caller, Brother Nelson. 2 days ago, the Minneapolis Police Department did reach out to individuals on a list that are active, quote unquote, in community and et cetera, and alerted them. And what was said by one specific group is that they intended to call a press conference as early as yesterday, really. It has not happened. I'm very disappointed that what you had suggested earlier is not at least taking place, where some ministers would stand out in front of the church or inside the church. I know it's been cold, et cetera, and talk in terms that black safety also matters, you
right.
know, and that's the same
right.
equation as black lives. But it hasn't happened. I don't know what orders we're waiting. And by the way, let me just say this. The mayor does not have any interracial, biracial children. Her husband has adult children, but Mayor Betsy Isaacs does not have children.
Okay, my mistake then. I thought those
yeah,
were her
our,
children.
Yeah. But there are others that have children. Our councilman, my good friend Bongang, Don, if you're
yeah.
still there with us, he
yes,
has
I
children,
am.
Small children,
yep.
if you will. And they, in fact, one of the incidents didn't happen that far from his home. Oops. So I appreciate your comment, and we'll keep you as long as you continue to reflect your observations, because I'm really saddened, not necessarily disappointed. A lot of things disappoint me, but I'm saddened because I am very much aware of what the trauma is that these families have gone through for the last couple of months, and I think we're getting ready to find out that there were additional abductions during the summer, but the concentration and awareness picked up when he, quote unquote, and his friends began to take children as, you know, within the vicinity of schools. And then Mr. Allen and Don is, I know, limited for security purposes, but the gentleman who took those pictures that went viral, went national, thank God for him.
Yeah.
Because it was that picture that helped a family identify who this white predator was, if you will. And I find it amazing, though you can't enlarge off of the digital, I find it amazing that no one has stepped forward to say that, yeah, this is a guy I know. And definitely no one has stepped forward. And really, I have you know, taken a risk per se of following up and indicating the whole situation of the dogs in the house. I mean, come on, you got enough people out here, man, that know some person that got a friend, a
right.
buddy, and et cetera, who's got two big black and white dogs in his house.
Right.
Okay, you know what I'm saying?
A white man
and,
lives
nothing.
A mile away. Exactly. Come on now.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I know. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, and so I'm saddened about it, and I guess no. I've heard no one come out. I've heard no women's group or anybody come out
right.
and say that they are. And I, because you know, I understand that you know that kind of trauma, and particularly where there's a possibility. Notice I have to use that reference. There's a possibility of sexual assault and et cetera. So it's a very private kind of thing, particularly involving children. But still, you could stand up, man, and talk in terms that safety is important. You know what I mean?
Right. Right.
But,
and no matter the child, I mean, because there are white children, Hispanic children, Asian children that live in a neighborhood. I don't care the color of the child. The fact that there is a child that was preyed upon by some grown, sick pedophile is disgusting. And I, Lord knows that as a parent, man, and as a daughter, I got a daughter that's 10 years old. I can only imagine what I would do to this man if I was to get my hands on him, but that had been my child. There would be, you know, hell would have no fury. And I just can't believe that no one has had enough stones to publicly come out against it. But that
I am
much
too, sir.
To do
I,
it.
I am too, yep. And I'm further bothered by the statements by the security director. I want to reaffirm that. The security director of the Minneapolis Public Schools, who's a Caucasian former police officer in an outstate little town, who said that they were aware of this in October and that they may or may not have contacted the Minneapolis Police Department. And then we have another situation where a parent has indicated that police officers came to her home, wrote down some information, and now with this controversy, the information can't be found.
Ain't that so?
It cannot be found. It's not in the computer. It's not so, you know, with the exception, I understand, of Reggie Chapman of WCCO, gentlemen, I understand that the media, Tom Lydon's reasoning was something different than I think Reggie Chapman's, who is concerned about what you just said, sir. It's a child. Color shouldn't make any difference, but it's clear that there's a different portfolio in this case. And as I said before, there have actually been four. Gentlemen need to understand that. There have been at least four that are now being looked at and investigated, and people are wringing their hands and et cetera. And I repeat again, gentlemen, that the safety director for the Minneapolis Public Schools said, said we knew about this in December, said we filed a report. They said that they made an alert, that they made telephone calls through their robo system to alert parents that there was a predator out there. You know, I don't know where the Minneapolis Star Tribune was, and I don't know where any of the news media was, gentlemen, because there was nothing on the air in October.
Absolutely, and I don't get – someone should be resigning, some heads should roll, and not politically, but because this is an incident that should have never happened, okay? That I mean, I don't mean to be all naive to know that it doesn't happen. It does happen. But I think to walk up in – you know, this guy had, he just walked in the neighborhood. 31st and was it James? Was it, correct me if I'm wrong, guys, 31st and James, was it? Where it happened?
Right there? Around in there. Go. You're right. I mean,
now,
again, we have to be careful because there's been more than one. Go ahead.
But a lot of people don't know that this is the hood, okay? This is not an area where the average white man would walk into, okay? You know, let's just tell the truth, shame
on
the devil.
On a fairly warm evening with his hoodie on.
Exactly.
Because you take a look at the picture, if you will, again, picture taken by a Caucasian who was alert and understood. You know, one of the things that troubled me in that video, if you look closely, as he and the little girl, the little 7-year-old African-American child, female, were walking by. In fact, he was kind of ushering her. He wanted to make sure she stayed abreast and he could keep an eye on her as he walked her to his car. Sure. You remember, you go back and take a look at it, you will see an even smaller child who looked like maybe he was 3 or 4 running behind him trying to catch up. And what actually happened, the guy got into the car and told the little baby, I mean, that was really a baby, to go back. And that's what ultimately led to the mother being made aware that the child had been intercepted. Now, in one of the other situations, I said child was abducted from right out in front of a school.
Now, how does that happen? Where's police liaison
when
children are being? See, that's what I'm saying, because that's what I would go totally loco. My child better not be abducted from in front of a school. Okay, the principal, vice principal, I would be in jail right now. Because there should be some serious answers as to why a child is being abducted from in front. Look, my children go to I won't name the school they go to.
Oh, right. Because
they go to really
secure
schools.
Secure
schools, and I have to say kudos to those schools, because you cannot even get into these schools without ID and other things of that nature. So I think that maybe that's what we need to change, because how are children getting abducted from in front of schools? That's embarrassing. And if the superintendent, I hope that she didn't necessarily resign over this, but probably it was time for her to. I know it wasn't, but I'm saying too. But maybe it was time for, and I like her, I really do. But maybe it's time for a new changing of the guard.
Mm-hmm. Let me say this: she was not made aware, as I understand it, by the director of security in October that there had been this kind of incident. Now, as we said before, two were on the street. One was in front of a school, and the fourth one appeared to be in the same situation, possibly coming off a bus. But on that one, you know, they can't find the information and can't find the report.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Who's in charge? Why isn't the person in charge demanding, you know, some type of recourse or demanding that? I mean,
who's in charge is the mayor. The mayor's in charge.
Well, then I just answered my own question.
Then
no wonder ain't nothing getting done.
The chief reports to the mayor. And the chief has commanders that report to her. And I have to tell you, gentlemen, that there is some tension within the police department because not everyone in the investigative units feel that this is a high priority. Oops, just going to have to tell you that.
Of course not.
Yeah, that it's not a high priority per se. And consequently, my statements, which also will be aired on my television program Sunday, that, you know, wow, if this was a blonde, blue-eyed, white child from southwest Minneapolis, man, you know, we'd have almost a state of emergency. They're also trying to keep the numbers down, gentlemen, to talk in terms of how many of these incidents have happened, how many abductions have actually happened. See, you have some situations where you may have had a child abducted, sexually assaulted, if you will. Both the parents or the parents are concerned about exposing the child to this, or maybe didn't initially believe the child, if you will, or maybe the child didn't tell what the predator made the child do, if you will. But I praise at least two of the children who had enough presence of mind to indicate that they were taken, and they had no familiarity with each other, but they were taken to a house with two very large dogs. And there are a couple predators who have a history of using animals as a part of their, sexual assaults.
Guys, and I'll be doing, because I want to alienate
right,
any other callers. But, you know, this is it's also incumbent upon parents to stress to their children the do's and don'ts of who to leave with and not talking to strangers. I know it sounds silly.
We're all out of the old school.
Exactly.
That's right. Old school.
And evidently this child lacked that knowledge. And so I do want to put a little bit of the onus, not a little bit, I want to put half of the onus too. You know, our parents didn't just, you could play out in the front, but you had your parents looking out on you every now and then. I'm not blaming this parent at all because she had nothing to do with this. But again, I want to stress to parents that's listening that we need to go back. This made me do it. I got a 13-year-old and a 10-year-old, but it still made me go back and talk to my kids about strangers, not talking to strangers and not falling for that stuff that your father says, I can pick you up. Because if it's not stressed, then this is something that could happen. But I also want to thank you two gentlemen for making this a point of emphasis, too. Because
there's not enough of it being out.
And so we appreciate you guys doing it.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate
thank
you.
You.
Thank you.
Guys.
Okay.
Thank you.
Mr. Allen, one feature that the caller, and we appreciate the caller calling, because, as we said, probably a lot of people shopping entertainment. You got to remember, this is a very experienced predator, because he did something that is interesting. We have to also caution ourselves about what it is that attracts children who unfortunately believe what adults say, if you will. As I said before, I'm from the old school, Don, older than you, per se. In my day, at 7, 8, 9, 10 years old, we one thing we did not do is go anywhere. But here's what the guy did. You got to remember what he did. It was very clever and very seasoned, if you will. He said, oh, I've lost my puppy. I have a puppy, and I've lost my puppy. Do you want to help me find my puppy? Now, you got to remember, he's cased this child. He's looking at this child. He can tell the child is an age of 6, 7, 8 years old. When you start talking to a child about a puppy, if you will, a kitty, right? See, you don't do the old candy thing anymore, right? Can you help me find my puppy? See, children are more sensitive, if you will, Mr. Allen. I think you know that. You have two children of that age, coming into that age category, right?
Yes,
children,
sir,
are very sympathetic to a situation in which someone has lost something, right?
Right, correct.
And when I quote-unquote predator says, child, I lost my puppy. Can you help me find my puppy? okay? This is a seasoned predator, if you will, which makes him extremely dangerous and represents a significant threat to our community, man.
Absolutely.
Go ahead. Any phone lines are still open for anybody, you know?
Yeah, the number again is, so we had a caller that, let me get this back here. We had someone that dropped, but the number is 347-426-3904. Again, the phone lines are open. You can call back, 347-426-3904. And we're talking about the abductions of the African-American children, girls, boys in North Minneapolis, and the lack of reporting by people who
should raise all kinds
of hell. And, well, Mr. Edwards, you know, here's what I decided to ask her to, because this is really terrible. And like Mr. Nelson said, if someone was to lay a hand on one of my kids, I'd be doing the show from Stillwater, okay?
Yeah.
I would have done something serious to this person.
Uh-huh.
And actually, if I could get away with it, then they would never know about it. But I'll just put it out there like that. But the thing is, you know, I think that we have to start creating some awareness and some groups of our own to go out and press the individuals that need to be pressed to do what they should do, their function. I know I put a call into the Minneapolis Urban League today to try to get in touch with the President Scott Gray to ask his position on the women, young girls, I should say, being abducted. Of course, I never
called that. Yes. They weren't able to get him, were you?
No.
He's probably in Madison for the holidays.
Yeah, and so, I mean, at some point, again, I mean, I hate even bringing it up and talking about it, but it goes back to that accountability issue. I mean, our leaders, are they going to make sure that they do what needs to be done, that they're going to react to or take an action or react to an action in a way that's professional? And it's not happening. And we do have another caller, Mr. Edwards.
All right, let's get the caller in. Callers are important. Go right ahead.
Caller, you're live on the air, and I know who this is. Go ahead, sir.
Yes. Gentlemen, this is Mr. M. How are you doing this evening,
sir? M, how you doing, sir? All right.
Very good, very good. Listen to a very riveting program by you gentlemen, as always. And I just want to chime in on this, abduction situation. I mean, see, these type of things happen, and, you know, when the media, you know, for some reason, they don't give certain things their due, okay? There are certain things they jump on and certain things they jump on, but, you know, this particular one is troubling to me, for one, because it's in my community. It's in my neighborhood.
Yes, sir.
And when you don't, you know, when the media doesn't jump on this type of thing and really highlight, okay, this happened, and really start putting the community on alert, what this does is this begins to give license to that. He doesn't feel any heat, whoever he is. He doesn't feel any heat because, you know, it was reported and then it kind of dissipates. You know, it happened in a certain neighborhood, so it's not that big of a deal.
Well, particularly
yeah, it is.
When it appears that our suspect is person who started doing this, well, to the extent that there's a record established in October. I mean, you got to figure, guy does this, does a couple of them in October. He does a couple of abductions. He takes them to a home, if you will, which I assume is his home, or it could be his center of operation, if you understand how these predators work. And then some period of time goes by, he doesn't hear anything from that community, you know, and he doesn't see any intense police, quote-unquote, surveillance and stopping of Caucasians in four-door late sedans, green in color, and et cetera. And so he says, oh, hell, this is a fertile feasting ground, if you will. That's what's very troubling to some of the veteran investigators, that how many have happened and we know nothing about it, that people are suffering the pain and the scars and et cetera. So your observation, M, is well made. Let me ask this. Should not we as a community be at least bold enough that the leaders, I'm talking about the leaders because certainly I know myself, I'm you know, a backbencher and et cetera, but should they at least ask the mayor for a meeting and an update? I mean, that's what they used to do in my day, if you will, and in the time that you We're watching a much more viable and vital community. Should we not at least ask the mayor for a meeting? Or maybe is that too much? Do we not want to impose on the white mayor during the holidays or what?
By all means, it should be. Also, you know, it even shouldn't be something that the community should come to them. They should come to the community, okay?
Okay.
Because
I like that. I like that, yeah. Okay.
Edward, you just...
you know, Mr. Allen indicated he attempted to reach the paid head of the powerful Minneapolis Urban League today, and unfortunately he's not available, and, you know, this is holiday time and travel, and I guess, you know, and the Motown Review is in town and et cetera. But I got to tell you that over the last week, ever since the national coverage, I mean, you got national coverage that there's, you know, kidnappings going on in Minneapolis. And I kept waiting, gentlemen, and my co-associate, Mr. Allen, I kept waiting to hear, you know, to hear that phone call that leadership were on their way to the mayor's office asking for a meeting with the mayor and the chief. I mean, that's the way, we used to do it back in the day when we weren't scared.
Well, it sure was. You know, for this Barney Fife, Mayberry-type police force, I mean, this is something that should be a priority thing for them to be on. They should be able to show and to promote that to the community that we're on this, okay? This is happening and we're on this. But I don't see any, I don't see any urgency. I don't see any, no sense of urgency to say this is something we want to eradicate in our neighborhoods. Well, I think it's very telling, you know, of this.
I have to have a deep appreciation of the last caller who said something very interesting, very chilling, and that is this predator or his associates have actually become very comfortable because the areas that these are happening, these are areas that are frequented by, quote-unquote, the toughest of African-Americans, gangs, and et cetera, you know what I mean? Don't come into my hood. I mean, here's a white man walking up down the street telling little black children, 7-year-old girls, come help me find my puppy. Come get in the car. And I'm like, well, where was the alert system? I mean, you know, I'm just having a hard time with it because I hear so much discussion about the turf wars and et cetera. And the last caller, gentlemen, you know, I think really touched on a raw point with all of us as African-Americans, particularly as men and men of some experience and age, if you will, that this guy could just get out and walk up and down the street and just, you know, certainly in the last couple months, just pluck little black children off the sidewalk. You know, and homeboys didn't stop him or, you know, I mean, I've watched homies running up and down the streets for the last 10 years, you know, high rate of speed, et cetera, and, you know, preserving their turf, right, gentlemen? And et cetera.
All right.
And yet, I don't hear nothing about. Now, I have to tell you, gentlemen, in all fairness, I've noticed an increase in police stops of Caucasians, gentlemen, in North Minneapolis, in and around that area in the last 5 days. Mm. And I know this is a part of a absolute request and ultimately request for support from the front office by the head of the homicide unit, who are the lead investigators, Lieutenant Zimmerman. But then there are others who are like, well, let's, you know, kind of hold off. I mean, we don't know that these little black children weren't somewhere where they weren't supposed to be. Now, of course, in one case, one was in front of the school, two were in front of their house, the other one was waiting on a school bus. Oops. So it sounds like to me they're kind of where they're supposed to be. You know what I mean?
Well, you know, Mr. Edwards and Mr. Allen, you know, this really speaks to the whole, you know, to a bigger picture that we're undergoing right now in this city, this state, this country, you know, about our trust of the police, you know, and the job that they're doing to, you know, I mean, at this point, I mean, you see all these individuals being maimed, killed by the police. And then, you know, I have a real problem with a system they call a grand jury system where all these things happen, all these supposed grand juries happen, but nothing ever happens to the police. grand jury never indicts a policeman. And what I have a problem with that is this is always done in secret.
And oh, yeah.
So when you do something in secret, there's one reason you do anything you do, grand jury, anything. Anything that's done in secret is done for one reason. You don't want people to know what you're doing. Okay?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And so when you have that type of a system where, and I'm saying this because when it goes to the grand jury, this is supposed to be the apex of our justice system, okay?
Yes,
this
it is.
Supposed to be
citizen participation, right.
But you don't know who participates, you don't know what happens, and it's all done in secret. And when you do something under the cloak of darkness and not be, and you're afraid to shine the light on the process that you're doing, well, you're shortchanging the people, you're shortchanging the citizens. And I think that process, you know, is something that really needs to be reviewed.
That's right. And let me, because what you're saying is extremely profound, but I want to go to another question because you've touched on the grand jury, you touched on the pursuit of justice, fairness, and et cetera. Let me kind of shift up here in the last 4 minutes, 5 minutes, 6 minutes we have, because I don't hear anybody talking about that in town either. I guess maybe they're talking about it in the barbershop. Give me your take on the Adrian Peterson situation and how the NFL stabbed him in the back.
Well, just briefly, he's getting a raw deal, okay?
Okay, okay.
And my take on the whole NFL thing is basically this. Roger Goodell is a puppet. He is not, has no power whatsoever. He works for 32 individuals that are billionaires. And these billionaires
right.
are not going to let Roger Goodell or anybody else tell them what to do with their business, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so what is going on there is that as far as the owners were concerned, both Ray Rice and Adrian could come back and play. Two or three game suspension, let them play.
Mm-hmm.
But when the outcry came where they're going to hit them in their wallet from the
yes, sir.
From the advertisers, and when that came,
Target, Radisson Hotel,
Hotel,
Nike, et cetera. Go ahead, Yuri. There you are. You're on
when
point.
When that came, mm-hmm. when that came, they decided, wait just a minute now, you know. And so they've mm-hmm. made Roger Goodell the fall guy for everything, you know. I mean, he's not a fall guy because he gets paid $30 million, okay, to be their to be their whipping boy.
Right,
that's
right,
my
right.
take on it. Yeah, Adrian Peterson has gotten a raw deal, and I've been in that particular field. I'm not in it anymore for many years, and I've never seen a person go to a grand jury for a child maltreatment type of a situation. If you have no background with child maltreatment, they offer you voluntary services. They offer you, you know, counseling. They tell you don't do that anymore. And if you don't, you don't hear about it anymore. He
That's
has
right.
been extraordinarily.
And let me say this based on what you just said, which is a very profound point. People don't even talk about, and I watch all of these sports shows and analysts and et cetera. No one talks about the fact that this prosecutor in Texas went to the grand jury twice. He could not get an indictment the first time in May. He couldn't get an indictment. The grand jury would not indict Mr. Allen because Mr. Allen mm-hmm. is not necessarily a sports buff. The county attorney could not get an indictment. He waited until September. He waited until the new grand jury came in, and he took it back before them, and he enhanced what a terrible black man this black man was. Even though, you know, Adrian Peterson is a legend in Texas, but he was able to get an indictment. And like they said, all of a sudden, once again, you can indict a ham sandwich if you try hard enough. But
well, again,
I hear no discussion in this country about the fact that this guy went to the grand jury twice. The county prosecutor went there twice.
And you do this under the cloak of darkness. You don't know what evidence is presented to this grand jury, okay?
Yes.
You don't know the
yes.
makeup of these individuals and what they're actually listening to and what they're asked to do, okay?
That's right.
So when you do this in a secret situation, this one is blatant to me because, as you say, you know, Mr. Edwards, they already convened a grand jury and they said there was nothing there to charge, okay?
That's right.
So then
mm-hmm.
you find another one to get them to do what you want them to do. And then you go mm-hmm. ahead and you taint that I mean, I'm surmising that because I wasn't at the grand jury. I don't know what they did. But
I will concur and support you because obviously I've been studying it, investigating it, and I know the grand jury system. In fact, I've testified before a grand jury twice in some very serious matters over a decade. You know, when you start grand jury shopping, it's like an ambulance chaser, and you just made an interesting point, and that is what the prosecutor did. He said, okay, let me see. I told him this, 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 and this, and they didn't buy it, so what I'm going to do is make some adjustments here, okay? And then I've done a profile of the grand jury members, and there are a couple in there, and I think I may be able to get to them if I adjust this, 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 and that. That's not the way the grand jury system is supposed to work.
No, no, it's not. It's supposed to be an objective. You're supposed to bring in a peers. You're supposed to bring in neutral parties to hear pertinent, salient facts.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
Whatever the issue is.
All right.
Is,
so, sir, I appreciate you taking the time and
thank you.
Right. You know, sharing with us and giving us your observation. I do have to say, though, particularly with some of the things that I've heard said and people particularly talking about my colleague and myself and et cetera, I'm really disappointed that we did not hear from any women as it pertains to the abduction situation or anybody who, quote-unquote, would call us on something else but who maintain that they're a leader in community. Appreciate you and the other caller taking the time to dialogue on this. Thank you.
All right. Take care, guys.
All right. All right. Well, Mr. Allen, we can get ready to wrap it. I think we've done our due diligence. We're down to, the last 30 seconds, you know. So we can only do what we can do on our side of the highway.
That's right. That's right. That's it. Thank you, everybody, for listening. We'll be back next week. Is it the 24th, Christmas Eve, if I'm not mistaken?
We'll be back. Yeah, we'll be joining you from outside of Minnesota, but Okay. James Brown, take us home.
Okay, come on. Here we go.